Okay, the talk, what I'm going to do, I got a different book on Linzi or Renzi, see, and I'm just going to pull up some stuff because I think most of you know this, we've been very busy this week, and I really haven't had the time to sit down and sort of pull something together. But Rinzai, see, is sort of a unique character. And I think from my own standpoint, see, a lot of his training has been misunderstood and misrepresented. See, shouts and hits. And see, people can get into that where they think, yeah, let's get into this. It really doesn't work quite that way. See, the shouting and the hitting, if you understand the context in which it occurs, see, the hitting can be a kiyosaku. See, but they'll talk about encounters with the old master. But you have to see the intent. See, and Yasutani talks about this. And he talks about this in particularly in Werobaku. See, and the teacher of Rinzai. And there's an encounter where Rinzai wakes up and he slaps. And he said he doesn't actually do that. There is a profound respect from teacher to student. You have to understand the context in which the koans are working. See, he's actually stepped in and jammed the teacher. Ah! See, and they do the shouts. See, and Rinzai, if you read the koan, see, they walk by and they shout, ah! Ah! See, what is he trying to do? See, again, it has been misinterpreted. It has come down to us now, I won't go into where this comes from, where some of the people who come in the door, nothing here. It's from a totally outside of our lineage, see? And their whole way of practicing is they come into the Doksan room. We had a wonderful young guy who was here for a while, then he went to San Diego to school, and he got in with this other group. And the first time he came back to see me here, see, he comes in the door, he screams, he jumps in the air, and he slams his hand on the ground, see? They're trying to emphasize the now. See, make it simple. See, but this is what they did. And I think in a certain context, it probably was fairly effective. You'll have all of these situations where the student will say something and the teacher knocks him down. The teacher is knocking down the argument, knocking down the delusional state. It's what Yasutani said. Wouldn't touch the teacher. But again, they're speaking in metaphors. See, they're using analogy. See, what are we trying to do? We're trying to knock down, see, all of our delusional thoughts. A shout can do it. And one of the most amazing kind of things in the hands of a master coming from deep, deep samadhi was Maizumi Roshi with myself. I had come out of my hell realm where my whole family had collapsed, insanity in ways that very few people are even aware of that I had to go through at that time. And I was so trapped, I was ruminating on it. And at that point, when it appeared that it could also turn into a very dangerous situation, Roshi said, it's time for you to come in. I moved to the Zen Center. And for one full year, Roshi allowed me to tumble. Any time anybody would listen to me, I would go through this again, I would become the victim, I would go over and over and over. See, and nobody stopped me. Some of you may have heard the story. Soko, that's where I met little Soko. And Soko said she could tell if I was in the Zendo, if she opened the door and could smell brandy. See, Roshi, I was self-medicating. See, Roshi never said a word. For a year, I was his jisha. See, never said a word. Let me tumble. And again, I would go over the same wheel, over and over and over. And the funny part, I was sort of getting sick of it because I wouldn't tell anybody that because it was horrible what had been done to me. See, what I had lost, literally, I had about 25 years of my life just wiped away, see, overnight. See, so I was with Roshi, see, and I was walking down, taking him to the Inryo. This is where he lived. See, he's got stepped up on the step and he turned and I said, Roshi, do you know? And I started, and it came like a lightning bolt. Quiet! See, and I turned and I walked away. And I thought, what the hell is this guy? Insensitive. I went back to my place and I'm muttering to myself. And I said, he wouldn't. And I couldn't even say what it was that I had done. I could no longer, to this very day, I cannot go into that churning thought. Cut it. And this is what it cut it. It was done. It had to be done with surgical precision. Too early, it wouldn't have taken. See, and Roshi said, the teacher will float to the side of the student. See, and if you move too quickly, it's ineffective and could actually drive the student away. If you wait too long, the period of opportunity is lost and the student will just simply wander. He said, the thing that was a little discouraging to me, he said, maybe the teacher will float beside the student for lifetimes. Well, that's a long time, see? But he said, once the student turns toward the teacher, then the teacher can grab the student, see? But if the student doesn't turn toward the teacher, he said, there are situations, Nyogen, where you will simply get in front. And he said, it's like damming a river. He said, it's going to be destructive, but if you don't stop it, it will even be more destructive. But it was an interesting thing. He floated beside me. He floated beside me. See, he watched me carefully, kept me close. See, and then at that right moment, when I turned and I started and it cut it, has cut it forever, I could never go back into the ruminations. I was freed from it. That's the mark of a fine, fine teacher. Now Rinzai said, people who study Buddha Dharma must seek true insight. Gaining true insight, you're not affected by birth and death, but freely go or stay. True insight, not something that you make up in your head. See, this isn't a practice that you make up. See, this isn't something that the conditioned mind deals with. And he says, but students today can't get anywhere. Where is he talking about? Students today can't. How many of you in here think, I just can't do it? See, it isn't working for me. I'm not good enough. See, part of the problem, see, that he talks about is, he said, what ails you? Lack of faith in yourself is what ails you. Lack of faith. You don't believe Buddha Dharma. See, and again, we have to be very, very careful. See, that we're not making up stuff, because about 98 or 99% of what passes for Buddha Dharma today is just delusional thinking. See, if you watch, if you look very carefully, see, the practice is very simple. It isn't somebody's personal agenda. Everything that has ever been written, the great sutras, the story, Shakyamuni's own story, see, his story is a mirror of you. See, I've talked on this before. See, you, see, are the Shakyamuni Buddha. You are the one, see, who has become deluded or delusional, see, in your attachment to this youth. And it has become something that you want to begin to free. You see that it doesn't work. See, all of this clutching to your fantasies about what's going to happen next week, the great parties, all of that. See, I'm going to find the perfect this. I'm going to find the perfect that. If I get the perfect car. See, that's living, see, in this delusional place. See, and usually this is our youth. But many of us will continue to hold on to those kind of things as we fade, as we get older. The problem is that when we begin to realize that the great party isn't coming next week because you really don't have the energy to go to the party, see? And then it starts to shrink in, see? And this, the horizon, what you look out here, this amazing vista, see, you don't expand. See, those of you who have read Beyond Biocentrism, you'll know what I'm talking about. You are not expanding. See, you're narrowing down. You're returning, see, into this little limited, we could call it almost Hinayana position, totally obsessed with the self. See, and in this kind of a separation from this amazing expanse, you're frightened. See, you're terribly frightened. Everything is a threat. See, because you're watching your life slip away. See, and the fantasies of the big sports car that's going to make your life perfect, or the big house, or the perfect mate. See, all of it, transforms according to, see, what we project out. If we project out from a dualistic position, see, all of our beliefs that we established are wrong. There is nothing that you believe is correct. See, all of your beliefs are based upon a dualistic understanding of reality, of what your life is. Dualistic. See, and this is one of the things, see, that you can begin to appreciate, clearly spelled out with the cutting edge now of modern quantum physics. See, neuroscience is moving into this more and more, hand in hand. See, and again, if you're beginning to understand, see, that so long as I keep myself caught in this, if I don't have faith that there is something, see, something here that transcends the limitations, this is what he's saying. If you don't have this true insight, he said, you're going to be trapped in birth and death. And Dogen does a whole fascicle of this. See, lack of faith. He said, it's lack of faith in yourself. And that's why you keep tumbling. See, that's why you run around, he said, in bewilderment. See, after all kinds of circumstances, you chase this circumstance, you chase that circumstance. See, you dream up all sorts of things. This is samsara. This is samsara. This is the place of pain and suffering. And if you haven't been paying attention, samsara is on fire. See, it's the house. It is absolutely on fire. See, war. The only thing that you have guaranteed is there will be more war, more exploitation. There will be less compassion. See, because we don't see clearly what's here. See, and if you could begin to see what's clearly here, see, it's you. Buddhism is simply, see, a statement about you. See, if you can't hear, if you can't believe, see, and this belief is a very, very different kind of a belief. See, we can call it faith. Do you have faith in the teaching of the Buddha? Do you have faith in the transmission of the Buddha? See, transmission. See, a big part of transmission is put down. You simply say, there is no transmission. There is no Buddhism. See, this is the bankrupt world of samsara. See, and it is bankrupt. And it causes pain and suffering. And it is also involved with exploitation. Because you have to be very, very careful. See, watch carefully for those, see, who are trying to tell you that there is no Buddhism, there is no transcendental realm. They're going to charge you a pretty penny to teach you that. As a matter of fact, what they're going to do even, which I have to, I don't know why I have to say this, see, you see, they're going to teach you that you don't need to have a teacher. Did you get that? They're going to teach you that you don't need to have a teacher, and they're going to charge you for that. See, that's a fascinating thing to me. See, but again, here, he said, if you can take the teaching, a transformation, see, will take place, and that transformation is the attaining of freedom. He said, what do you do? Here's the shouting, the hitting, see, of that. The great Yang Wu, who follows as a direct descendant in his line, see, he at one point says, correcting this, he says, what does shouting and hitting, raising the eyebrows, sticking out the tongue? See, what does that have to do with this? See, again, it's simply a way that a particular teacher, see, manifests the Dharma. See, but again, we only know what translators are telling us. See, what I do know from working with Maizumi Roshi, he didn't feel that there was any translation of the Shobo Genzo. See, and what he thought was the best was at that point Moon in a Dewdrop. See, but again, it wasn't there. You have to have had great spiritual insight. You have to be able to use the nuances of the language, see, that they were using at that time. If not, the translators accommodate their own belief system. And consequently, you get something that's watered down, you get something that can be intellectually understood, see, and that understanding is misleading. And so it leads into sort of a demon realm because it reinforces the realms of samsara, the place of pain and suffering. Bring to rest thoughts of the ceaselessly seeking mind. See? Do you understand? Stop the seeking mind. He said, and you will not different from the patriarch Buddha. He says, make no mistake, worthy Chan students, if you don't find it here and now, see, you'll go on transmigrating through the three realms for myriads of kalpas and thousands of lives, and held in the clutch of captivating circumstances, you can be born in the wombs of asses and cows. See, now some of you say, oh, come on, you know, over the top. What is he talking about? Just see. No. If you see this consciousness, what is this mind only? What again, and I bring it down because it is so clearly spelled out for you in Beyond Biocentrism, there is nothing but your conscious awareness. There is only mind. Now, when you conceptualize that, when you objectify that, you don't really get it. See, and he's going to try to get you. See, this is what sits here, see. And caught in your six senses, you're experiencing a separation. But it is this conscious, this awareness that rises and falls. See, those of you who conceptualize this, see, those working in koans, see, you're still putting a wall in between. It would be like, if we want to talk about this in a most profound sense, what is this dharmakaya? What is this amazing body? Think in terms, and here is an example that you might get. See, a fish in the center of the ocean. See, and you could ask the fish, what is ocean? See, and the fish would be unable to answer. It could talk gibberish. See, and by the way, there's a book out there, I have it now, see, What Fish Knows, and very intelligent. See, we're finding more and more. We're finding, see, the amazing thing. There isn't anything here that isn't mind. But that fish, see, you can only speak of something when you have something to compare it with. What is the fish going to compare the ocean with? There is nothing outside of the ocean. See, he can't imagine and bring something in. So he couldn't, how does he describe it? What shape is it? What form is it? See, you can only do that from a subjective position, looking out into an objective world. And that's called duality. And whatever conclusions you draw are false. See? The three realms lack tranquility. What are the three realms? The realm of form, the formless, and desires. See, they're just like a burning house. This is a parable, see, of the burning house. See, the house is on fire. See, and the children are inside. See, and the king, the father, see, this amazing thing looks into the windows and screams, come out, come out, that house is on fire. See, where is that house? You're the house on fire. Samsara, this is what you support. See, that's on fire. Come out, come out. See, and what can we say? The teacher's yelling into the windows, can see you in your mouth. And the children are not paying attention. They're not aware that the house is on fire. They're in there playing with their games. See, the games, all of this belief stuff that you hold on to. See, all of the wants, all of the desires, all of the dislikes. See, all of this stuff. See, all focused on self. Let me push myself forward. See, let me push out here. See, he's saying, come out of that place. Come out of that place. See, that's a house on fire. Of course it is. See, every year we go through, we watch people coming and going, rising and falling. He's talking about something in here. Birth and death are of no issue. This is not, they're not talking about psychological states. See, he's talking about the reality of now, of this most amazing Buddha mind. Buddha, awake. Awake means what? In the Dzogchen tradition, they call this awakened state pure presence. Pure presence. See? Or Padmasambhava, they translate. See, and I think the Tibetan translators have put more study in. And consequently, in a way, you can trust their translations more. Padmasambhava's naked awareness. My experience of it, and it wasn't out in the book, it's the experience that comes from kicking out the bottom of the black lacquer bucket. See, moving beyond the delusional thinking was non-distracted awareness. Same thing. Now, oh, you say that's easy. No, it isn't. You can't even do it for a couple of seconds. See? It's very, very difficult. This is why you have to practice. It would be wonderful if I could simply, it's just stay awake in the present moment. I say that now, and many of you have already drifted off into your thoughts. See? But that's the practice. And this is what we sustain. He said, if you wish to differ in no way from the patriarch Buddha, just don't seek outside. See, outside, duality. See, and in the book that I keep pitching, see, I ought to ask for a kickback on that, by the way. See, there is nothing outside of mind. Nobody, and they've been trying, nobody can prove that anything exists outside of consciousness. Can't be done. I always like, Tom Campbell says it another way, you can't know what you don't know. It's beautiful if you can really get what he's saying. You can't know what you don't know. But don't you operate on that? That you do what you really do, you really can? See, nothing, see, is outside of it. See, and what do the physicists say? See, not just on the Berman and Lanzas point, but the physicists say, this amazing cosmos, this universe, nothing can be added to it because there is nothing but this universe. Nothing can be added to it. Do you understand why? If you add something to it, if this is everything there is, where did you get this something that you're adding to it? See, and then they'll say, and nothing can be taken away from it. See, if nothing can be taken away from it, if you can, you take it away and put it where? If there is only this universe, only this mind. See? And Shakyamuni Buddha said 2,500 years ago, you can't add to it or you can't take away from it. See? It's an amazing kind of thing if you begin to see this. See, what is this? It's unborn. This is what you are. He said, the pure light in a single thought of yours, this is the Dharmakaya. The pure light. See, he's just saying the pure light. He's not saying your understanding. See, this is the Dharmakaya Buddha within your own house. This non-discriminating light in a single thought of yours, this is the Sambhogakaya Buddha, see, within your own house. This non-differentiating light in a single thought of yours, this is the Nirmanakaya Buddha within your own house. See? And then he says, this threefold body is you, the one listening to my discourse right now.